I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today is Tammy Hudson, CISO at Randstad North America. Randstad is the largest global HR service provider with 5,700 internal staff in North America, managing a workforce of 94,000 plus each week in the US and Canada, and a global presence in 38 countries. To learn more about Randstad, visit randstadusa.com. Welcome, Tammy. So happy to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you. Always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for having me.
And so, Tammy, to start off, can you share with us how you built your path to becoming a CISO and I guess what got you interested in tech and cybersecurity?
Sure. So great question. You know, it was a grade school project, actually. When I was about in the fourth, fifth grade, I had that volcanic eruption project that I think most school-age children at some point do, a quarantine or not, maybe. And I remember I had to successfully design this volcano so that the combined behavior between the elements would result in my desired goal, right? So the risk, of course, was that I'd miss a step and the goal wouldn't be achieved and the volcano wouldn't erupt. So I had to learn what that secret combination was. Now, of course, that was many years ago, and that was nothing more than a science experiment. But as I entered into undergrad, that experience became really a metaphor for how I really identified and pursued my professional passion. So as an undergrad student at Georgia Tech, I really transferred that passionate curiosity that I got from doing that project from behavior elements to the various aspects of business and technology and how they work together. And because even at that time, those combined pillars were the key, I thought, to global future success that I would have and that various businesses and companies would have. I took that mindset, and after undergrad, I worked in consulting with various Big Four firms, working on some of the most complex global IT and cyber challenges. Again, Hillary, feeding that passion to deeply understand and create solutions that integrated business and technology. I actually continued to nurture that passion through my MBA studies at Duke University, and I still do so in my role as CISO. So the landscape, of course, is different now. The risks are elevated, the threats have become more diverse, but the passion and the strategy and that curiosity that I had as a fourth grader, fifth grader, I've still applied. And that's really been the driving force for why I've continued in this field. I think it really is a matter of integrating those elements of business and technology in order to successfully manage cyber risk. And that's been the secret combination for me and why I love this field.
That's such a cool story and so unique. And I love that. And actually, I kind of want to come back to that in a little bit, because I think that probably had an impact on your mentorship, which we'll talk about shortly. But regarding your role as CISO, you started at, is it Randstad? Am I saying that right? Randstad or is it Randstad?
It's Randstad. We're a Dutch-owned company.
Randstad. Okay, that's how I was trying to say it, because I picked up that it was Dutch. So you started your role at Randstad North America last year during the COVID-19 pandemic, a time when there was not only an increase in cyber threats, of course, but incredible job loss. So this is probably a large question, but what was that experience like?
Well, so I obviously like challenges, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
The pandemic created, I think for everyone, this perfect storm of uncertainty and chaos and fear really around the nation for multiple reasons. So we had this huge shift to remote work. It was the reality of preparing for the unknown on several levels. And then this huge increase in both the sophistication and the surface of attacks, of the cyber attacks that we were seeing. So the decision that I made to lead cybersecurity for an organization in this unprecedented time, and for an organization as global and dynamic and complex as Randstad, is really a testament, I think, to the experience that I've had working across the financial services industry and other really highly regulated industries where I've had to normalize the unexpected and maintain a risk-based business mindset to manage cyber and still lead with a level of purpose and efficiency and effectiveness in order to successfully do my job. I think Within cyber, we have a common enemy. And these threat actors, we have a common enemy with these threat actors. And I don't think there's any way that we within leadership can shirk our responsibilities or rest on our laurels. I think the days of standing up effective security controls is just table stakes at this point. The new challenge, I feel, with the pandemic and with the threats that we've seen, the new challenge of each of us then in leadership, both public and private sector, is to commit to what I call intentional transparency. And I think because in doing that, we're really able to share insight and extend our cyber efforts through collaboration, through partnerships, and in return, build strength, consistency, and resiliency across the U.S. and really globally.
Excellent. And Tammy, what types of security issues do you deal with in HR specifically? And how do you help secure both candidates and business partners?
Yeah, fantastic question. You know, I don't think HR is vastly different from other industries.
Okay.
So the way the threats come to various industries may differ. The compliance, the regulations may differ. But my job from day one, at the start of my career even, and with Randstad, has really been protecting one of our most valued assets. That's our data. And I do so by building a defense in depth technique. So that's building controls, not only in the technology layer, to be honest with you, but it's really looking at that people, process, and technology and the integration and the interdependencies between those and doing the right thing. So enabling business, but still securing our data so that we can grow, so that we can do what's right by our employees, by our customers, and by our stakeholders.
Excellent. And as I sort of teased up earlier, you dedicate a lot of your time, apart from your role as CISO, to mentoring and educating girls on the importance of STEAM programs. Obviously, that resonated very strongly with you from childhood into adulthood and who you are today and the career path that you chose. But can you share with us a little more about the initiatives that you're a part of and why they're of such significance to you?
So I love this question, Hillary, because one of the ways that I lead and really who I am, I really practice this sort of servant leadership. And I do that by serving my team. I kind of turn that whole org chart, if you will, upside down. And I serve the people on my team. I make sure that they have what they need to do their jobs. I make sure that they have the information, the skill set, the experience, my support, and the creativity in order to do their jobs the best way that they think they have. Part of that is really me mentoring them. I think there is so much value in mentorship. I think there's so much value in transparent mentorship. So I tell everyone, I'm a wife, I'm a mom of three, I have two daughters. The way that I lead in my professional life is the way that I lead in my personal life as well. And personally, in speaking to my own tech savvy, if I could brag for a minute, tech savvy girls, it's really telling them how I think that they can be successful in the tech field and what are some things I think they can do. I personally, Hillary, credit so much of my success to the females leaders that have come before me, that have shattered that once impenetrable glass ceiling, if you will, and broke barriers and rose as strong leaders who are still rising, I think, and still opening up doors for other people in other industries, including the technology industry. I think we've seen this happen, especially, you know, in last year in the political arena across so many industries, right? But there's still so much work to do. And so I work with various programs, including serving as an executive mentor for Columbia University Center for Technology Management, which is a fantastic foundation, a fantastic program, where I mentor professionals on various aspects, really, of business and technology and the intersection between those. I mentor in areas like AI and cybersecurity, and really mentoring not only young women or young professionals, but various people on how they can make a difference in technology, on how I can share some of my insights in order, again, practicing that servant leadership in order to make sure that they have the tools and everything they need, I think, to succeed. I also take that same mindset and I serve on the United Way, and I'm in various communities really talking to teachers, not only myself, but my husband and our children, talking to teachers and engaging with people in the community, speaking with parents and community leaders and pastors and bus drivers and neighbors and elderly people, really about the importance of these STEAM programs. So not only the STEM, but really including those arts and reaching what I think is beyond the traditional, I think, pillars or traditional source of skill set that we normally look at in order to see this unhidden and probably untapped talent. And I do so because every time I mentor, I think every time I lead, I'm mentally trying to build a pipeline of these technologically savvy young girls or young women or people in technology, people who may not have gone to Georgia Tech or Duke, who may not have had that, you know, consulting background or corporate experience, but they're brilliant and they have so much to offer. They're veterans or they have disabilities. And there's this incredible pool, I think, of untapped talent that can be cultivated through mentorship. And that's really what I try and do. I try and look outside of the typical. And instead of looking for, you know, that diamond that is all shiny, let me find something that may be a little rough. And then because of the things that I've gone through, let me help polish that. And let me speak to that person and guide that person so that they can be exactly what I know what's in them, exactly the potential that I see. And that's something that people have done for me, really. I think, like I said, I'm very transparent in my leadership. So for me, the mentorship is personal. I think every single day, Hillary, I have so much gratitude for what I've been able to accomplish. And it's because I have a family history that includes both blessings and burdens, both poverty and wealth, to be honest with you. So I know, I really do know, and I appreciate the power of one person. I know the power of one opportunity. I know that by giving people the tools and the skill set and the insight and sharing different experiences with them, that you can help them grow and develop and become something phenomenal. I think, you know, for my own self, you know, my journey is just beginning, but I fully believe that as I continue to climb and as I continue to maintain my sense of gratitude and humility, I am always committed to only climb the ladder, if you will, with one arm, because I'm always going to have one arm still reaching back, helping someone else or several people climb the ladder as well.
That's incredible. And I love your analogies, both the diamond and climbing the ladder. It really, really paints a picture for folks, you know, as they're listening to, you know, understand kind of the opportunities, like you said. And I love that you made the distinction of STEAM versus STEM. So I want to come back to that quickly, but I also love your transparency and sharing, you know, that your journey is the product, I think so many of us, myself included, of both, you know, different socioeconomic statuses. You know, you have different exposures to different things and that shapes who you are. And I think that that's something really interesting about cybersecurity and folks that I've spoken with, including you, is that it's such a great opportunity for folks to advance themselves and to build a life different for themselves, perhaps, than maybe where they were from, because it does afford those opportunities. And you can get an associate's degree and then get a job in cyber, and then you can start making good money. And there's just so much there that really excites me when I listen to you talking about your experience and why it's so important for you to tell the bus driver, to tell everyone who will listen to you about what's going on and help build awareness so that it's something on parents' minds of, like, when they're having conversations with kids in middle school or early high school about what they want to do, you know, maybe cyber is an avenue they want to go down and they want to explore.
Right. 100%. I don't think any of us have to accept any of you know, our past challenges or what we've seen as something that can't be changed. I fully believe that you actually earn the mandate for change through hard work.
Yeah.
And by outworking everyone. So you don't have to. And I tell young people this all the time. Don't feel like you have to come to the table with everything in order. I don't shy away from those hard things. And even my dad taught me when I was younger, always do those hard things, which didn't make sense, Hillary, to be honest with you, as a 10-year-old. Yeah. But what I got from what he was saying is don't be afraid to challenge yourself and don't say no to a challenge, because you never know what's going to come from that opportunity or how you can help someone else. So I think it goes back to my mindset, that charitable mindset and that servant leadership of helping someone see what they can become and helping them look past the things that they've seen.
Absolutely. And to come back to STEAM, so we talk or we hear and we see so much about STEM, but you and I saw on your LinkedIn profile, you make the differentiation of STEM, which includes the arts. And so why is that important, not only for tech as an industry as a whole, but also for cybersecurity? Why do the arts still matter?
Oh my gosh, 100%. I think it's such almost an overlooked pillar of success for so many people. So I want to explain that to people. So we're not talking, because when I've mentioned this to people before, I'll get comments like, yeah, I'm not artistic. You know, that that doesn't make sense. But really, when we talk about STEAM, it's not only that science, technology, engineering, and math, but there's a humanities level to that. There's a language arts, there's dance and drama and music and visual arts and design and media. And really it's bringing your whole self to the table. And that's what I can't even underestimate, bringing your entire self and challenging yourself in areas that you may not have even had an interest in or focused on previously. And I think that the inclusion of the arts there actually does that. There is a piece. I am not artistic. I'm very much a computer lady and a cyber girl, and I love that. But there is a piece, the humanities, that I have found so much treasure in being a professional and talking to various teachers and people with doctorates from Columbia and Georgia Tech and what have you, that being able to bring that level, that mindset, the level of arts, and combining that with that science and technology really does open up a diversity of thought that I don't think this field has seen enough of. I think that any true leader really has to ask the right questions and ask a lot of questions. Really ask a lot of questions and do enough research. So I'm not one to say, you know, all questions are good questions. No, I think people absolutely have to do some research and come to the table with those challenging questions, with those questions that make people think, not necessarily that you're going to get an answer, but you're bringing your whole self. You're pulling in the science and technology and engineering and math and language arts and design and media. And you're looking at that problem in a different way than how it's been looked at in the past. And in doing so, you're ushering in a level of diversity that I don't think many of us have seen, but I think many of us can benefit from.
And speaking of asking a lot of questions, I feel like my job, I feel like you've touched upon this, but I guess to expand it a little further, what more can the cybersecurity industry be doing along, you know, potentially along with those outside of the cyber industry to encourage girls or just more diversity to pursue STEAM fields?
Yeah. You know what I really think it is it's back to that, those transparent conversations, not being afraid to be vulnerable. I think one thing that this pandemic has taught me, and I think a lot of leader, is they're really, at one point in time, you had to kind of be this almost stoic leader.
Right.
And you had to answer questions in this almost distant technocratic way. But I feel like now effective leaders are really learning how to speak from the heart and being very transparent and setting a balance between being vulnerable and assertive, or consistent seeking and decisiveness. I think that having those transparent conversations and having them with people who may not have your background, who may not have your skill set, who may not look like you, it is the best thing to do. I have personally, like many women in my field, I've been the only quote unquote one in the room.
Yeah.
I've been the only woman, right? I've been the only woman in the room. I've been the only person of color in the room. Mm. And I saw this early on. And I remember early on, you know, after I'd started my professional career and after I was graduated from college, I remember asking someone why, and this may have been naive, but I actually asked, why weren't there more women doing what I was doing?
Yeah.
Like, where are they? What is the communication out there? And I will never forget, Hillary, that this person told me at that time, the person started naming various things, and he named education. Well, you know, a lot of women, as he said, a lot of women don't have the MBA. A lot of women don't have the graduate degrees. And then he named experiences. Well, a lot of women, you know, stay in this particular field and may not get into technology and computers. And, you know, we stay in these traditional, if you will, fields. You know, and he named a various level of passivity that he felt that a lot of women had. And I remember being polite and being professional. And I remember looking at him, and meanwhile, and I didn't take one note, but I was holding on to every single word he said. And I remember walking out of the room and just ferociously writing down on a piece of paper every single barrier that he listed. Every single barrier. He listed MBA, then he listed experiences, and he listed certain industries actually where women didn't go to. And from that point, and this was more than 20 years ago, I remember saying to myself, I'm going to check off every single thing this person told me. I'm going to get my MBA. And I'm going to get it from a top university. I'm going to intentionally insert myself into that financial services field where he didn't think a lot of women were, and into the technology field. I'm going to have conversations that will allow me to learn about the different perspectives that he didn't think, you know, women kind of were interested in. And every single barrier that he named off, I intentionally eliminated. And I did that really with one thing in mind. And it's something my parents told me, and it's simple, really. It's outwork everyone, outwork everyone. So things may not come easy, and things, you know, may not get handed to me, but outwork everyone. Stay up later, get there earlier, ask more questions, do more research, put yourself out there. My dad had a saying, don't work the job, don't work the clock, work the job. So the clock may stop at a certain time, but keep going. And it really is that outwork everyone mindset that allowed me to check off every single thing that that person told me. For now, being a professional and being where I've been blessed to achieve the level of success that I have, I fully take that still, that mindset of outworking everyone, and realizing that success is not a zero-sum game, right? Both of us can win, or each of us can win. I help other women, and I help other minorities eliminate the same barriers that I faced, so they don't have to feel like they can't come in a room, because I guarantee you, if I'm there, I am pulling up a chair for someone else. I'm inviting someone else to that meeting, or I'm taking the insight that I learned from that meeting, and I'm calling my mentors, because it's two-way. Like, they'll call me and they'll ask me questions, but I'm also feeding them information like, hey, I don't know if you knew this was going on. Make sure you get this skill set. Mm. You really need to go to this conference. Like, you know, make sure you ask your boss about this, or this is going on in your industry. Send an email to your clients. Ask them how they're dealing with it. Every single barrier that I faced, I try and feed how I overcame those to other people, whether they ask me or not, because I feel like that's my responsibility. And that's how I use my platform.
I love that. And if by some strange chance that man is listening to this episode today, sir, she checked everything off, sir.
I did. I'm so grateful. Yes.
And in addition to your mentorship, you mentioned the United Way, of which you're a board member. And you mentioned your husband is also involved. So how did you all get involved with United Way? And what are the initiatives that you're working on with that team?
Sure. So I love United Way. So the way I grew up, you know, and I didn't even realize this, you know, when you're growing up, you think, okay, most people think this way. The way that I grew up, giving back wasn't optional. So the charitable mindset that was instilled in me as a kid is really foundational to who I am now, both professionally and personally. That shows up in how I lead, the servant leadership, the mentorship. It shows up in my involvement in the community. And I think United Way and so many other organizations, but for me, United Way has been a fantastic vehicle to help drive that lasting change in our community, to help really feed my passion for charity. And the programs that I'm most passionate about, and they have so many, but annually, and I think across United Ways, they have a community backpack program where different people in the organization, different companies come together and they either give donations or they'll drop off supplies. And together, these are people, you know, at C-level titles or hourly titles, it doesn't matter. Together, we're in a room and we're packing book bags to make sure that those students are equipped with the right supplies so that they can be as successful as they can be from day one, right? So really giving them that foundation, again, eliminating those barriers, checking those things off one by one. What do you need? Pencils? Check. What do you need? Paper? Got it. You know, do you need a calculator? It's in the bag. Checking those things off so that no one can hold that against them and they can't hold it against themselves. These are the things that I have. There's absolutely nothing that they can't do. And there's another program with the United Way. It's working with the Institute for Child Success, where we work with the pediatric healthcare system in order to make sure that the children in these impoverished communities and these communities that may be neglected, if you will, have the right amount of healthcare so that they can focus on their school, so that they can focus on learning and not focus so much on health as an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old. So really giving them that platform to be them their best selves. That's what I'm passionate about. That's what I, you know, my husband and I do. We raise our 3 children to do the same. I think one of the big things that that involving my children in that has done is really building in this charitable mindset. Even now, my youngest daughter, Peyton, she has a book and it's out on Amazon, and she and I are actually writing a book about girls in cybersecurity at this moment. And giving back and being charitable will absolutely be a theme that we're going to incorporate in that book, because that's who we are.
That's so cool. And I'm so excited for that. I want to read that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
And since you're talking about girls in cybersecurity, women in cybersecurity, women currently hold about 20% of cybersecurity positions. So there is still a lot more work to be done, of course, of which you're very much at the forefront. And something we talk about a lot on the show with women leaders in cybersecurity, such as yourself, is how as women, we can be conditioned to have a fear of failure. Naturally, you were hearing your parents share with you, overwork everyone. So, you know, that's a little bit of a different experience. But still, as a society, we're kind of conditioned to have a little bit of a fear of failure. So I wonder if you could share with us a story about a challenge you faced in your career, because you mentioned you love a challenge, and how you overcame that challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. So I remember this was still, you know, I was probably mid-level in my career, and I was invited to, you know, quote unquote, big meeting. So people who had way more experience than me and, you know, had this certain level of confidence, I assumed, because they had seen various different things. And I was the first person there, and I sat down and last person to leave the room. And I did not say one word throughout the entire 1.5-hour meeting. And I'll never forget it. One of my mentors to this day, who's been my mentor, who actually hired me actually into consulting almost 20 years ago. I didn't know him very well, but you know, afterwards he walked up to me and he said, you wasted your seat. Mm. What? Yeah, but I sat here the whole time. Like I wasn't late coming in. I stayed, you know, what are you talking about? And he said, never waste your seat at the table. Never feel like you cannot contribute because you don't have as much skill set, or you don't have as many years, or, you know, you don't have the background or the pedigree or whatever it is. And he reiterated, he said, you wasted your seat. And so what I took from that and what I still apply to this day is take up space. And it's something that I tell the people that I mentor, because I mentor men and women, people of color and people, you know, who aren't minorities. And that's something that I always tell them, take up space, which sounds a little bold. And it's kind of one reason why I like it. Absolutely take up space. Don't minimize yourself or your experience or your skill set because you don't think that they compare. Because the fact is, you have something very unique. Every single person does, that someone else needs to hear. And you may need to cultivate that, and you may be unsure about that. But that is the biggest advice that I can give women who want to come into this field, or girls who want to come into this field. Take up space. Remember who you are, and remember the strengths that you have, and cultivate those every single day. Outwork everyone. Make yourself better. Learn more. Do more. Challenge yourself to be better. And there's really absolutely nothing that can stop you.
Incredible and so powerful. What a powerful moment in your career. And indeed. I've had similar experiences to that, like, oh, what? That moment.
Right, right. Like,
what I do? I ruined it, or I missed it, or what? Oh no. Like
Quite the epiphany. I'll never forget it though. Never forget it.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for that advice. For anyone who's listening, we do have a good amount of high schoolers who listen to the show. So I'm glad that you shared that. And I guess if you had any other advice to give to women, underrepresented groups, and minorities looking to build a career in cybersecurity and the tech industry, maybe they're in a different industry right now, but they're listening and they're thinking about making the shift, anything at all. I love hearing your advice and your perspective.
Yeah. I think to just start, it's so simple. I think, you know, if you break down things, you know, into these small, almost consumable ideas, consumable actions, if you will, just start reading about it, start learning about it. I am, although my team gets on me, I try to be the most accessible leader that I can. I give out my cell phone and I have a personal commitment to respond to people within 24 hours. Whether that's a Saturday or Sunday, it's 24 hours at maximum that I'll respond to people. And it's because business keeps going, right? And people need to keep learning, and we need to keep protecting our organizations and continuing to grow. So people should just start every single day, be disciplined. I'm a big believer in discipline. I wake up every single morning between 3:45 and 4, and I practice gratitude. You know, and I'm thankful for the blessings that I have, but I'm mindful as well for the blessings that others may not. So I ask for direction and guidance, and I'm consistently aware of what I've been given and what I can give back. And then I go for a run and I think through different things, and then I come back and I'm super refreshed. And, you know, there's a time, because I'm human, where I think, oh, I can do everything. And then there's some times where I'm like, oh, wow, this was kind of hard, but you keep going. So that's the best advice, you know, one of the best advices I can give. Start, be very disciplined, outwork everyone, and keep going.
Awesome. Well, Tammy, thank you so much for joining us. This has been such a pleasure, and I just really enjoyed speaking with you.
Oh, likewise. Anytime, anytime. Thank you so much, Hillary.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Tammy Hudson, CISO at Randstad North America. Randstad is the largest global HR service provider, and to learn more, visit randstadusa.com. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.